Hey everyone, welcome to The Withering Effect. Today is episode 29 and the date is January 26, 2020, and I am Duds, or Duds Versus, known to the rest of the interwebs.
And I am Jimbo, aka Jimbo Slice 23, and we have guests today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
I'm YDYT. I make redstone videos and let's plays on my channel, which is just the letters YDYT. It's pretty easy to find. I mainly design redstone doors and build things from movies. Yeah, that's about that.
Awesome.
Cool.
And I'm Cass. I have a YouTube channel as well called Myzuma Games. I really love redstone. I love Minecraft in general. I do other games as well. But I really like to focus on technical stuff. I love survival as well. And yeah, that's the kind of thing you will find on my channel.
Yeah, you guys are awesome when it comes to redstone. I know YD only talks about doors and stuff, but watching the videos and stuff is just way over my head.
Yeah,
we're gonna start. Yeah, go ahead, Jimbo. I'm sorry.
I've watched your stream quite a few times, and it's hard to wrap my head around how fast she puts these things together too, and how she just keeps an eye on all the ticks and everything. I'm like, man, it's way more advanced above my field, that's for sure.
It's just practice. You got to spend time with it. But like, 3 years ago, I couldn't build a redstone door, so you know, it's just time.
You say this, but I remember making a slime block elevator for my guy a couple years ago, and I was counting ticks on my toes just to get the timing right. It was a lot around it, but let's start with what we've done this week. I've done very little Minecraft, so I'm going to start first. The only Minecraft I really did this week was I cleaned up all my loose shulker boxes around the base. I did do some measuring for a carrot and potato farm, which I might be bringing this week. I had to take a break from the scripted episode just because I was getting bored out of my mind. So I hopped on the server, and I'm still getting that like frame drop issue, so I really can't wait for Optifine. But yeah, other than that, I finished the drywall project in my actual house, which I'm excited about. Now I don't have a giant gray wall, so
it came out good.
It came out very good. It looks like a closet now.
Good.
Yeah, how about you, Jimbo? What did you do this week?
Well, I've actually been playing Minecraft a good bit this week on the Ripple Effect. I say we, me and Winter. Winter's helped me out in this tower design. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to build a tower, and he's going to put Iron Golem Farm in there. So that should be a lot of fun. We've been working together, chatting, hanging out and stuff. I also had to, I made a video with a friend of mine, Leave. It's Minecraft Noob versus Pro.
Okay.
So he's labeling me the pro now.
I was gonna label you the noob. What the heck?
Yeah, right. That's I'm like, dude. I'm a low tier pro. So if this is am I the only guy you can find? Anyways, we did that. That was a lot of fun. And plan on recording this tower episode here soon on the Ripple Effect server. So stay tuned.
Awesome. How about you, Cass?
Well, recently, I don't think I've been doing a lot of Minecraft recently, but that's usually what I do. In January, up until maybe February, I take a little bit of a break because I don't know, I can't help myself. And sometimes, most of the time during the year, I do projects that really consume my mind. Yeah. I'm really passionate about this game. Sometimes I can't sleep because I can't stop thinking about projects. And this is the kind of level I get to the game, so I really need the break. And this is the time I'm taking a break with the game for now.
Breaks are awesome. I 100% agree with that. I think me and Jimbo have been fighting through the burnout the last month or so.
I kind of just got over it.
So this week I haven't really done any work on doors because the previous week I spent like 14 hours in one day designing a door because I ran out of time for it, and it was for a competition for Cass actually, and so I kind of had to grind that out, so I'm burnt out on doors. But I've been occasionally logging into the Ripple Effect to dig some sand and gravel there because I'm building a Death Star out of concrete, but like it gets a bit boring. So other than that, in my survival single player world, I've been building a 250 by 250 circle of grass, because I'm building Isengard in that world from the Lord of the Rings, and it's just a bit of a lot of grass placing. But luckily I learned about grass farms recently, so that's made that a lot easier.
I have never heard of a grass farm. I did see your thing go out for the stream, and I was upset I missed it. But yeah, a grass farm? What the heck?
Okay, so basically, this isn't very well known, but if you use a hoe on coarse dirt, it turns it back to dirt. So you can duplicate gravel, and then use two gravel and two dirt to make four dirt, or to make four coarse dirt. Then you till that four coarse dirt, and now you've got four regular dirt. So then you use that four regular dirt and four gravel to make eight coarse dirt. Then you till that eight coarse dirt, and etc., etc. And then you basically just have infinite dirt.
Yeah, I knew about making coarse dirt with gravel, but I never knew tilling it could turn it into dirt.
Nor did I. I learned it. I was just like getting down the YouTube rabbit hole, and I found an Ilmango video from like 2015 about it. So I managed to manipulate it into a working farm, and yeah, seems pretty good.
Daggone.
Now this grassy area, is that where the tower is that you made?
Yeah, it's the Tower of Orthanc from The Lord of the Rings. It's the tower that Saruman's in, if you've seen the movies.
Oh, it looks amazing, the build.
I'm glad you like it, yeah.
Yeah. My tower's nowhere near that size, by the way. So if you're looking for a good tower, look at hers.
Jimbo, from, you said you have a tiny tower.
Well, come on now. It's not that big. We'll leave it there.
I couldn't help it. I am definitely like the mental capability of a fifth
great
grader.
Great timing.
There's a Brototac grass farm as well, right? By Ray.
Really?
I don't think I've seen that? Ray's one.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I haven't seen it. I'll have to look it up. His farms are usually really good, so I'll see what he did.
Did you guys see that?
I missed it. I mean, I never heard of a grass farm till now.
It's really awesome. They use Enderman, like the ability that Enderman have to pick up grass blocks, and then they have like kind of a spiral build that's mostly vertical, and then I think the grass gets replaced by dirt blocks. It's very complicated, but I think it's an awesome project. Really, really cool.
I have to sign that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it does sound pretty cool.
I mean, there were a couple months ago, I was begging for grass on the server. People just kept giving me shulker box full to shut me up. Wish I would have known about that.
Do you guys have some sort of exchange, like a trading system? Like, you guys, hey, I want some resources. You guys want some other resources?
Yeah.
For the most part.
We have, like, shopping district. Yeah. But, like, nothing explicitly that there's a trade rate, per se.
Yeah, it's kind of like trade for what I need or diamonds.
Yeah.
The grass for me was just to shut me up.
Yeah, not everything's for sale. I guess if you did want something in bulk, you just ask another server member and they'd, you know, kindly trade.
With that, let's get into the news, because there's not a lot of news, so we're going to fly through it. 115.2 is out, and that's the last of the 115 updates per a tweet I think I saw from one of the devs, that they're already on to 116 or the Nether update. I'm super excited for the Nether update. What about you guys? Yeah. Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to?
Oh, the Nether forests. I really want to see how they implement trees, and I see all the different kind of mushrooms, just new blocks in general, man. That always excites me.
I'm kind of interested in seeing where they go with the trading with the, like, what were they called? Piglets or something?
Piglins?
Like piglins. Yeah. Like, I'm hoping that that's well implemented, and it's not just like these are villagers but look different. I want it to be like something special about these that distinguishes them, basically.
Good point. I was just really hoping for the coarse flower trade, so I don't have to grind any more digging up coarse plants. I'm excited for the blue flame. I really hope the blue flame has some kind of other abilities than regular fire. Maybe it can turn water into ice faster or something.
Oh, this would be cool.
So that's kind of what I'm hoping for, but I think it's just going to be a flame in a different color.
Yes, maybe Mojang will listen to the podcast and take your suggestion on board.
I don't know. For 29 episodes now, I've been yelling about getting a red dragon, and they won't give me my red dragon.
Oh, that is true.
The other part of the news is that Jeb has come out in a tweet about the mountain biome, saying it's going to get done this year. Kind of feel bad for him because he was just kind of wishing people Merry Christmas and got bombarded with, when's the biome update?
Yeah, I thought that was supposed to be after 116.
I guess did too. It
could still be. Depends on when 116 comes out.
Well, I mean, we have two most years as of late, two updates. So 117 I could see coming out in December 2020, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, they're definitely going to try to get 116 out before Minecon, right? Because obviously they're going to be announcing 117 at Minecon like normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too long.
No, but that's kind of it for Minecraft news, unless you guys got something else you want to talk about.
Yeah, I want to mention a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about this Nether update. Okay. I think more things can change with the way we play the game. I think the Nether dimension is a place where nobody wants to be. Once you get there, there's not a minute you want to be there. You can't wait to get out of the Nether. It's a boring place. Yeah. You don't have any references. If you get lost in the overworld, there's always something you have as a reference. Hey, I crossed this biome. I crossed that biome. I saw that tree. But now there's nothing like this in the Nether. And now things are going to change. We're going to have actually interesting biomes to visit. Maybe, I don't know. I think that the gameplay itself it's almost like a quality of life improvement, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
I agree 100%. I think originally the Nether was designed so you could get lost and confused easily in it, and I think they're realizing that that was a mistake, like you said, because once you go into that, I think I mentioned this on the last episode. Nobody goes into the Nether with being in the Nether. You go there, you build a Nether hub to design to look like the overworld so you don't get killed by ghast and
resources.
Zombie pigmen. Yeah, and you gather resources, and then you get out of there. But now, hopefully, the Nether will be a place you want to live. Are the beds still going to explode in the Nether? Or can you put it to, like, build a base in the Nether now?
Live amongst the piglins in your gold armor.
I think
a whole new world.
I think they wanted to change this thing with the bed, the exploding beds as well, but I'm not sure. And the piglins, I think they're going to do trading as well, right?
Yeah.
Well, this as far is as I know, awesome. You throw them gold. You throw them like a gold ingot, and they throw you something back. No one's sure what that is, but...
Yeah.
The thing I was thinking could be bad, now that you talk about it in this way, though, is if 116... does make the Nether into a much more inhabitable place and people choose to live there, how's that going to reflect on servers? Because on a lot of servers, people's Nether portals, there is a Nether portal 20 blocks down the tunnel very often, and it could, on servers, people's bases could, if, for example, when 116 comes out, a lot of servers, I imagine, such as Hermitcraft, for example, will probably be resetting. And a lot of them will want to do stuff in the Nether, and I'm worried that it would reflect in really small areas for everyone. Obviously, that problem isn't reflected in single player, but like in multiplayer, it could just become too cramped.
Very true. My only thought against it would be hopefully they didn't change like the Nether ceiling, how you have that good, like, what is it, about 40 or 50 blocks of netherrack before you hit the bedrock ceiling. Where you could kind of still fit another hub in there without hopefully ruining the biomes down below. But, I've got a feeling a lot of people are going to be playing there. Some people might just go and strip resources. But just goes back to my idea last. Just do command block teleportation. Save the Nether.
Yeah.
That's it. Hashtag save the Nether.
Another thing you got to be worried about is when you're building... Say you build this big castle in the Nether, you're just getting it going, you're in the flow, and then someone pops into your base through a portal and says, hey, my base is on the other side of the world. You got to move your castle. I got to put my portal here. So that might be something else you get. You know, you got to watch where you're building because of all the coordinates, the differences. Yeah.
And that's why I'm hoping that they keep the nether ceiling a good chunk so you can still do the tunnels and stuff up there.
It shouldn't matter that much about the tunnels because you can now have a working nether portal above the bedrock.
So all
hubs can be just above bedrock now. You don't need to put them in the netherrack at all, which is obviously easier because there's none of this bridging over lava or anything to get where you need to.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there build height in the nether ceiling?
Yes, 256.
256 still?
Okay. And the bedrock, I believe, is at 128. So there's a lot of space up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sort of unintended change because Minecraft used to have the 128 blocks height limit, and then they changed it. They doubled it, and I think that when they did it, like the Nether, we got all this free space there in the process.
Yeah, they just didn't increase the bedrock height, and I think it's good that you've got that space.
But yeah,
it's awesome. As a Java player, that's awesome.
Yeah,
because let's face it, gold farms above the Nether.
Yeah.
Way easier.
To be honest, at some point I started to question how useful it is to have the bedrock ceiling. What do you guys think?
I think it's cool because of like the ability to put a gold farm and stuff up there. But like the fact that it's actually bedrock doesn't matter at all. Because I think that in the current version it takes like 2 minutes to set up a machine to break the bedrock. That's fine. In a couple versions of the past, it's been a nightmare, and then there was somewhere you just had to grow a dark oak tree and it would break the bedrock. So, like, bedrock's never really been an issue with it being there. And, like, to any, I'd say, reasonably experienced survival player who is interested in building farms, they disregard the bedrock completely. To a new player, I'm sure it's quite interesting and, like, what's above there, etc. But, like, most people aren't new at this point in the game's lifespan.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Back in CommonCraft, like the first season we had, our server was like 1.8 or 1.9, and we were on Spigot, which for some reason wasn't allowing us to break the bedrock, but we knew we wanted a gold farm, so I want to say literally everyone just voted to go into creative mode and get rid of the bedrock where we needed to. And then turn back. It's like, I get why it's there, and I could also see why it's not useful, but at the same time, yeah, everyone just disregards it. It's a new place for a farm.
And the fact that you can build out of there, does it really make it out of bounds? If you can place blocks? They have places where you can't place blocks. That's out of bounds. But
well, they grow mushrooms up there, so that's got to mean something, right?
One plus side about it is it's not spawnable, so you don't need to light anything up there.
That's true. Yep.
Unless you want... You get lost really easy.
Yeah.
So if anything, you want to light it up just to make a path.
Yeah, that's true.
The one thing I'm not really easy about it is the fact that mostly we have access to that awesome area because we find bugs in the game. Let me be honest. It's the bug that we use to break bad rock is very easy to fix. So basically, we are depending on the fact that some people are still reading the code and trying to crack this thing and then we have access to the Nether. We can break the ceiling. But at some point, maybe they will change their minds. They will say, hey, no more bedrock breaking for you guys. So this is what I'm afraid. Because we are going to lose something really awesome if they do this.
I mean, I feel like they've done that in the past, though. Like, so they intentionally patched out the dark oakwood one, which was the one you did in, like, 1.9, I think, which was you grew a dark oakwood tree on top of a dark oakwood tree, and for some reason the leaves would go downwards through the bedrock, and they patched that exclusively because it was a bedrock breaking thing. So, and everyone was like, oh no, they've removed this. And then someone found out about the dragon egg thing, and then people used dragon eggs, and then then they patched the dragon egg. So then someone found out about the current headless piston way. And I feel like even if they do patch it, we've shown so many times that we want that, and then we're probably going to figure out how to do it again, that maybe they won't patch it this time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you could turn it into, like, an achievement kind of thing, where maybe there is a special tool you can find in survival, or an enchantment that gives you like an unbreaking 7 or something like that, that allows you to be able to dig through bedrock.
That just could be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, just accept the fact that we're gonna break bedrock, make it a little bit cooler for us to get there, and a bit easier, maybe. But
yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if they're gonna patch it up, it is the Nether update. Now would be the time, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
That would get people more in the Nether than above the Nether.
There's one thing, though. If they ever allow us to mine or whatever the bedrock blocks, they will never drop the blocks. This could be possibly game-breaking, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. Like, the block shouldn't be an item you could pick up.
That would just make any farm that you farm something with a wither so broken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Besides all the pranks on public servers and...
Definitely not.
But if you guys are good with Minecraft news, we're going to go ahead and move on.
Good?
Yep. Good? Yep. All right, we do have a listener comment, and I say this every time. I'm so sorry if I mispronounced your name. I am very lackluster when it comes to this, but Paige Rommel left a comment on our YouTube channel, but also joined our Discord and left a comment, and it's kind of long, so I'm going to try to read through it. And then we'll get to talking about it because it's a really cool idea. He says, "Hey, just watched episode 9 about updates that changed Minecraft, and your discussion about putting Minecraft or magic in the game really stuck out for me. I had some ideas on how it could work." He then says, "There could be a block slash station, I'm guessing like a Minecraft table or something like that, like a crystal ball or something, similar to the enchanting table that you would have to use to learn spells. The spells would cost levels, just like enchanting or repairing, so players would have to choose between spending their levels on enchants or spells. And to balance the spells out, instead of consuming mana or MP, they could have an item consumption, like a bow uses arrows, for example. Maybe you could learn a fireball spell that would cost 30 levels to learn, like how enchanting works, and the spell would consume, like, 16 coal per cast. Maybe you could get a levitation spell that could use phantom membranes, a fall damage spell that uses slime balls." And that's it. What do you guys think about that?
That is pretty neat. That's, I think he's on to something there. There's, I like the crystal ball idea. I really like that. How he mentioned the station looked like a crystal ball. And, yeah, the levels, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Different items per spell. I mean, it works. I like to see it.
I think it sounds pretty interesting. It sounds kind of like a combination of like a bunch of different magic mods that have been out there, I guess. Because you've got like ones that like give you specific spells, and then you've got ones that cost items and whatnot. Obviously, I feel like it's not something Mojang would ever add, because magic mods, for example, have been in the game since, I don't know, I've only played modded since 1.5, and I can remember magic being a thing around then, and Mojang have never even suggested they'd be interested in adding magic, but like, it definitely sounds like an interesting idea, and if a mod, for example, were made out of something like this, I think it would be a cool kind of vanilla plus kind of thing, because it doesn't sound like it's full-on, like, Thorncraft, for example, where your whole game has to revolve around the magic. This just kind of sounds like it's a little extra, which I think is the way to go with these kinds of things. So it sounds very interesting to me.
How about you, Cass? What do you think?
I don't think I have a very popular opinion on this subject, but really I believe that vanilla Minecraft is ready for magic. I've always wanted to have some sort of magic thing that the player can maybe, I don't know, throw fireballs, you know, or as mentioned before, levitate or something like that. I don't know. I really like that kind of stuff, and I think it suits Minecraft.
I think I'm right there with you in the fact that, so we have this combat update coming up, and on one of my podcasts, I talked about upgrading armor and weapons, and I think magic could like slide in there perfectly. And the way he has it set up, I think, makes a lot of sense. So let's say you spend 30 levels and you get the quote-unquote fire charge spell cast. Maybe if you have a fire charge, which is just an item in your hand, but you click it, it throws the fire charge like a snowball, and if it hits something, it ignites whatever it hits on fire. I think that would be awesome, and I don't think it's game-breaking in the fact that fire does damage, but not a crazy amount of damage. You still have to make fire charges, so you're still having to gather supplies and resources, and you still have to get the levels to get that enchantment, and maybe make the crystal ball kind of like the enchantment table, where it's still random. You don't know for sure that that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. And maybe make it to where you can only have one at a time. You can't stack spells.
True.
Just because it would be kind of OP. You run around with, 10 different spells, and you got this awesome enchanted armor. Maybe one at a time, I would think. One spell at a time.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you so much for your comment. And speaking of listener comments, Jimbo, we have a Discord ad.
Yes, this week's Discord ad is from C3PO, so go ahead.
Hello, interwebs. I'm C3PO, a member of the Withering Effect Discord, a great place to talk to fellow like-minded Minecrafters and to get to know the people from the show. Sometimes there are even puppy pictures. Don't delay. Join the Discord today. Link is in the show notes. Toodaloo! Duds made me say that.
Okay, and we're back. Thank you so much, C3PO, for the Discord ad. And speaking of our Discord, we're trying to get you guys more involved with a lot of the stuff we have going on in there. And I came up with the idea for Block of the Week. Come to find out, Mojang came up with the idea for Block of the Week way before I did. So we're going to rip them off a little bit and do our own version of it. So Block of the Week, we have you guys vote between three blocks that we'll talk about the history and maybe how we'll improve the block or whatever. And this week, your choices were coral, sponge, and redstone lamps. And sponge won overwhelmingly.
Yes.
So, yeah. You guys
really... happy for the sponge.
Yeah, I was rooting for redstone lamps. I had so many ideas for redstone lamps, but you guys wanted the sponge.
So I'm okay with the sponge. I like the sponge.
Yeah, I'll go into a brief history, and then we can maybe talk about how we can improve the sponge. But I'm not really sure how you can improve the sponge. So let's start with, it first appeared in 0.019A. way back then, but then they removed it after like 50 minutes of use, and it didn't show back up until beta 1.8. Sponges can be found in ocean monuments or dropped as a item when you kill the Ender Guardian. They can absorb a 7x7x7 thing of water. Definitely needs to be bigger there. They share the same sound as grass when you break them. I thought that was interesting. And then when you place a sponge in the nether, it will instantly dry. And then you can harvest the water out of a sponge using a furnace/blast furnace and an empty bucket in the output. I didn't know about the nether thing. That's how I was going to improve the sponge. What about you guys?
I like the idea how you said make it more than 7x7x7. So what if you could make your sponge bigger? Maybe you put four sponges together, you get a big sponge, you could take out more water that way.
Maybe you can make an enchantment for a sponge called Super Desorbent.
Yeah.
Enchanted sponges.
The bounty, bounty sponge.
Oh, that's awesome. For you guys aren't familiar, I don't know if bounty is a product everywhere.
Oh, yeah. It's paper towels.
Yeah, but in America, they're things, the quicker picker upper, and they could just absorb everything. Yep. So, yeah. Whitey, how about you? What do you think you could do to improve a sponge, or do you think it's fine just the way it is?
I have two suggestions for improvement. The first is a tool for harvest, because it doesn't have one. And it takes like 2 seconds to mine, and that's annoying. So
yeah, we can get time
I want it to be mined by... I think a shovel would make the most sense, but like... Honestly, any of them are fine. I just think it should be, have a tool, like basically everything else in the game does. And then I think that having a better way to get them in the late game would be good. So I feel that the way you get them currently is fine for the majority of the game, but then you'll reach a point in your world where you're not really gathering that many resources anymore, except for when you're starting a project, and then you go to clear out some water, and you realize you've only got, like, 8 sponges, and you have to go ocean monument raiding, and, like, if that's not something you want to be doing, I think there should be an alternative way to get it. I don't really have any ideas for how that would be implemented, other than trading, which feels too cheap and easy, but...
Well, I mean, sponges grow in coral reefs, right? It would make sense to maybe have some in there.
Yeah, I feel like they should keep them spawning at a rare rate, but, like, some people just don't want to go ocean monument raiding, and, like, if you don't want to go ocean monument raiding, there shouldn't be this block that, like, shouldn't only be in an ocean monument, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Ocean monument raiding is literally one of the only things that keeps me from doing single-player worlds, because I love Sea Lantern so much, I know I'll have to make a guardian farm, but I hate making guardian farms so much, I don't want to do it.
I think they're a lot better now that you've got this soul sand trick.
That's true.
Yeah, it's much nicer. Right. And unfortunately, the first video for one of those was released 2 days after I finished raiding one. So I was unlucky on that. But from what I've heard, those making one of those farms, it's no longer a 50-hour process now. So that's definitely better.
Awesome. What about you, Cass? What do you got for improving a sponge?
Oh, sponges. All right. I've been thinking while you guys were talking. Mm-hmm. So I think that one thing we could do is to add enchantments to sponges. About the tool, why do you talk about that? So I think a tool we could use to harvest sponges could be shears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it could work.
I'm down with shears.
Yeah. Shears could work.
And
it definitely gives another use for shears.
Yeah, and I thought of 3 different enchantments that sponges could have. I would like for every item in the game to be really renewable, and you know, if you want to farm it, there's a way to farm it. And of course, it's not true for everything. It's the way that the game balances out. Mm-hmm. So, one enchantment I thought about is an enchantment that gives the sponge some sort of unbreaking functionality. In the same way that sometimes when you use your pickaxe, there's a probability that it's not going to lose any durability. There's a chance that when you use your sponge, it's not going to be wet, so you can use it again.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's enchantment number one. Number two would be a dry over time. So if it has level 1, 2, or 3, I don't know, if you place your sponge as a block in the game, it's going to dry over time, even if you are not in the Nether. Because let's face it, when you're using your sponge, you're not in the Nether, right? You don't want to cross a portal just to dry your sponges. You're most likely going to have a furnace arrangement there, something like that. And the final enchantment that I would love to hear your guys' opinions about is the sponges for lava.
Hmm.
Yeah, yes. I know it's pushing, a little bit, but what do you guys think?
Especially if you could do the harvest lava, like you can do water trick, it would be a lot easier maybe to, because wet sponges stack, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you use sponges and lava, you could then stack, which would make it easier to maneuver lava around.
Oh, yeah. This is awesome.
That's interesting, yeah.
Great idea.
I would say I'm all for it if you could harvest the lava like you do the water now.
Yeah, that's interesting. The one thing about these kinds of enchants is I feel like it would need a major overhaul of the whole enchanting system, because we don't have currently any blocks that can be enchanted. And so to add enchantments to a sponge, I feel like I'd personally feel a bit upset if they added enchantments to this block and to no other blocks whatsoever.
Yeah, one block.
Makes sense.
So, like, I'd want to see if... I think these are great ideas, and I think that enchanted blocks could be an interesting concept, and, like, I'd like to see where they could go with something like that, potentially. Like, with other blocks.
Why do you just opened up a can of worms and kicked us in?
No.
I agree 100%. You can't enchant one block without the others. But I don't know, what other blocks could you enchant? Like, what would be...
slime blocks. Maybe they're used for other things in building.
Make them more bouncy, something like that. Uh-huh.
Make, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ice, so they don't, so it doesn't melt under the sun.
True.
Mm-hmm. You could maybe have an enchantment that you could put on any block that would make it immovable.
Oh, I like this.
Damn.
So that, so personally, when building doors, I don't use slime blocks unless I need to use slime blocks, because I don't want to have any obsidian around, like, the edge of where those blocks would have to come out of the door. And so, like, if I could make those blocks immovable, then that completely negates that issue. And I feel like it would make seamless redstone completely different.
At the same time, it would be cool to also be able to enchant, like, obsidian to be clear, like the, what is it, the barrier block?
Ooh.
So a way to get barrier blocks in survival mode?
Invisibility potion, except on a block.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, man.
The rabbit hole.
I believe people will do a lot of pranks with this. Imagine you place, like, an invisible wall when people are doing elytra. Man, it's going to be messy. Oh.
I'd encase in Jimbo's entire base, and it'd be worth it.
I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't catch on for a long time.
You'd be like, what the heck is going on?
Like, it's a glitch at my base, guys. Restart. We got to restart.
It's so mean, but it would be so fun.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
But I think we'll go ahead and call it. That's it for Block of the Week. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We'll have another one coming up. I think Carl said every Thursday we're going to be posting new blocks for you guys to vote on. So keep an eye out for that on the Discord. And we're going to our main topic, which is basically our guests. With the lack thereof of Minecraft news and updates and stuff, kind of going to decide to focus on you guys. So I hope you're okay with kind of being... thrown through the ringer interview style. First, we're going to hit up Mazuma Games, or Cass. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions about some stuff. I've got a couple. We'll start with, how do you come up for some of your ideas? Because if you guys haven't watched, his redstone ideas range. Granted, you had like 3 storage room designs for a while there. You just kind of kept improving on top of it. So it kind of felt like... you had the idea to improve it, you just didn't want to put all the time into it, and then you're like, nah, I'm going to put the time into it and fix it. But then you have this, the storefront design is what I really liked watching, because I'm very big into automating for automating sakes. Like, the storefront design, most people don't do that in Minecraft. You can just say, hey, put 3 diamonds in here, take a stack. You're like straight up redstone ratios using shulker boxes and stuff, and it's insane.
Oh, that was so much fun. That was so much fun. I dream about these designs all the time, to be honest with you guys. As I told you guys in the beginning of the podcast, sometimes I lose sleep because I can't stop thinking about those projects. I have a lot of fun doing those things. For the storage system has a little bit of a story to it. So one day I had this idea where we could have a bunch of items inside droppers, and then we could alternate. So I created something that you know how we do traditional item sorters using the famous Impulse SVs system, right? So everybody does those kinds of sorting systems. This is an amazing system. So my idea was, what about a dynamic item sorter? So a system that basically allows us to change the item in the item sorter. So that was my first idea. A lot of people really loved that idea, but there was one really real big flaw with the system. It changed randomly. So yeah, if you had 2 items, it would work really nicely, but if you had a bunch of items inside, there's a chance that the items you're trying to filter for are never ever going to get a chance to be inside the item filter itself. So it was my first idea. So when I presented the system, of course, I showed everybody, hey, those are the advantages and those are the problems. And after that, a lot of people started contacting me. Hey, how about that? How about that? With a lot of ideas. And I never really improved that system for, I don't really know the time, maybe for 2 years. And the reason why I never tried to do it again is because I know that doing storage systems is a lot, is very much demanding. It requires a lot of energy, a lot of patience, and you have to be in the good mood. If you're not, you know, in the zone, you're not gonna do that. It's think about that. You have to place a bunch of items, and if it fails, you gotta place all the items again. I don't want to get too much into the technical details, but it's really annoying working with those kinds of things. But this year something changed. I don't know what happened to me, but then I decided, hey, I'm gonna get this right now. Everybody wants this system. I get DMs about it all the time, and then it's time to really do something else. And then I came up with this new system using minecarts. I never wanted to use minecarts because at the time, we had big problems with chunk loading, right? Mm-hmm. So entities use it to disappear if they crossed chunks and things like that. So I have my standards. So I don't want to do something that it's a storage system. Storage systems are very important in survival. You know, you don't want your items to disappear. You don't want your minecarts to disappear. So I don't want to use minecarts. And then there's a bunch of stuff that are known bugs in the game that I try to avoid in my designs. YD knows that. For YD likes to do piston doors, and you know that piston doors can be directional, right?
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Too many designs I've built and then been like, "This is amazing," and then I just turn it 90 degrees to check it still works, and it just doesn't.
It's a horrible feeling because you come up with these amazing designs, and then someone will post a comment on your video, "Hey, I built it and it doesn't work." And the reason is this person built the exact same thing as you did in a different direction. This, you know, over time, eventually you learn the rules, and you know, you have to account for directional designs and locational designs and a bunch of other bugs that we have to work around. This is what makes, in my opinion, designs very difficult to do. So,
yeah. And I was talking with Jimbo Hale before you go for like earlier in the past. I said you had such huge trust in minecarts, and I'm still scared. I know they fixed the bug, but I'm still scared of minecarts to the point where I won't use hopper minecarts in a system because I'm worried that they won't run correctly.
And you know what, Duds? So, you are kind of right, because sometimes they claim they fix bugs, but you know.
That being said, I'm planning on building your storage system just because, one, it's so much faster than the one I've been using. Just watching it run, I was just like, holy cow, it's worth me sitting there letting it load and run, and geez, it's amazing design.
I think it's a good system. In order to do that, I started testing this thing using the Forge mod, because Forge allowed me to have the word edit mod as well, so I could replicate things easily. Because as I told you guys, it's really annoying when things fail, when your item filter breaks. Oh man, all the items start falling in the wrong places and things like that, you know. And I had as well, Forge was a problem as well, and then Namebone, actually who wrote the what is the name of Namebone's mod? Do you guys know?
Carpet mod.
Yeah, the carpet mod.
Yeah.
I used carpet mod because I needed to speed up the process in order to test, to stress test the system. I take it really seriously because I know I'm going to get questions. It's a storage system. I don't want to mess with storage systems. I know that when people use your systems, you're going to get some criticism, and you want things to work. You know, I know. I don't want to get too serious about it, but you know, as a YouTuber as well, you want things to work. You know, you want to have you kind of feel that a little bit of a responsibility. You know, some of my designs got into Hermitcraft, and sometimes you know you wanna look good, right? When someone showcases something that you do, you know, you wanna do things right. So I really I really extensively tested this thing, used carpet mods, bed up everything, put loads of items in there. So I think it's a really good system. You won't regret if you build it in survival.
Awesome. That kind of leads into my second question. What's been your favorite build you've done so far?
Oh, man.
I'd say, is it the storage system or is it some obscure little thing you created long ago that no one remembers?
I mean, I've been doing YouTube for 7 years now, I think. So there are a lot of projects. I think I could maybe mention one project for maybe 3 or 4 different areas that I really love to work. The storage system is really, really something I love. I have worked many hours on that. People who follow me on Twitter, they know I always post pictures of the progress I'm doing, right?
Yep.
And so people know how much I'm working on this. So I love this system. I am really happy with the final result. This is the survival category. The thing I love to do the most, I think, is mini games, and I really love, I don't know, my tic-tac-toe, which is a project that honestly I don't think nobody cares. It's tic-tac-toe. It's not a great game, but it was very enjoyable, and I think the final result was really awesome. I made it. Everything I do for survival. So you see a lot of designs. So people want to do mini games. They do things that require you to fly, so you can press a button at the top of something, you know. And I add a little remote control, so you can have your tic-tac-toe somewhere, and you can press a button that can connect to this thing through a single wire, so it doesn't look like spaghetti. And you know, I did connect 4. I really the thing I love the most, I think, is mini games. But they also, of course, they require a lot of work. And to not extend myself too much, I would like to mention that one project that probably nobody knows. But at the time, it was very original. I think it's the most original thing I have ever done. And nobody has ever matched this project so far, at least. I think it's called Flame of Hope. Flame of Hope is... how can I explain that? Imagine a light post, so like a fence, and then there is another rack block on top, and then I light it on fire, and then you can press a button and it hides. You can hide it inside the floor, completely seamless. And when you press the button, then the torch appears and it lights up. It's amazing. It's really really awesome project.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, interesting. I'll have to look. I didn't see that. I saw your tic-tac-toe one, and I thought that was really cool. I thought about putting that on the Ripple Effect server. If I was able to follow the directions, it seemed like I should be able to do that. But yeah, I didn't see this one, and I'll have to go look for that because it does sound really cool.
I think I made this one 4 years ago or so, and the mechanics that make it possible, I don't think they exist anymore because... there's this bug now that we can't shoot fire charges through blocks from the floor anymore.
Yeah, you get comments that it doesn't work now?
No, it was never a tutorial. It was just a showcase video, you know. Look at this.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
I don't think I ever made the download available for people to do. It was just, you know, enjoy the video. There's a very positive message in the end of the video as well. I was just in a great mood when I did the project.
Awesome. I have one final question. What is your favorite redstone block? / if you could change one redstone block, what would it be?
Oh, man, there's so many things we can... Simple things like redstone torches. I think we should be able to place upside down redstone torches. A bunch of stuff.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is something that I have discussed with some people from the technical community, and I know that for a fact that this is not necessarily a popular opinion, but I really think we could have a block placer, a dispenser, for instance. A dispenser could be a block placer. Some people say it would break the game, if you can place blocks, and mostly the argument people use against it is It's going to make things really easy, or I made an awesome project that's going to become useless if you have a block placer. But I think it's going to open so many doors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of agree with you. Every time Mojang makes a change that breaks Redstone, usually within 3 months, somebody's already found a better, easier way to replicate the farm or mechanic that was being used before. So, while I don't agree with some changes, I agree that every change is like a new avenue to do something differently and could be for the better.
I agree.
Yeah, it breaks up the monopoly or monotony a little bit. Monopoly.
A little bit of monopoly as well.
Fake money.
We need some monopoly in this game. That's what we need.
Let's join me in the game.
All right. Well, thanks again, Mizuma. We're getting on to YDYT now. It's your time to shine. My question I have for you is, what has been your favorite door design?
So I'd say that it depends, like, what I'm looking at. So my favorite door in terms of how impressive, in my opinion, it was I currently still, 3 years after it was made, have the design for the smallest 3x3 in sync piston door. There are smaller ones, but I'm sure you've seen these tiny one-wide 3x3s where the animation is really quite horrible. And
yeah.
I just personally couldn't put that in my base and be happy with it, because it just doesn't look good in my opinion. And so I decided to make a smaller 3x3 one. However, I feel like anyone who is quite knowledgeable about Redstone and wanted to could make the exact same design. Like, I don't think there's anything impressive about it. So then, one that I made quite recently, Aubney, from the Ripple Effect server commissioned me to make a walrus door for him. By commission, I mean it was more like he asked me and I was like, yeah, sure. And so it's a 5x4 door with some of the blocks sticking out and other ones not. So it's a, like, 3D 5x4, kind of like a vault but door, but not quite. And I'd say that's probably my favorite because I had to do so many things in it that I hadn't done before. So, for example, I'd never built a 5x5 door before, and I use a 5x5 center block, the mechanism for a center block in that. I'd never designed a seamless hipster floor, or seamless hipster door by myself. I knew of designs, but I wanted to do everything on this one by myself without, like, just going on YouTube, entering seamless hipster door and just copying the design. So, like, as a whole, I'd say that's probably what I'm really proud of, because I think I streamed the whole project over about 6 weeks, and, like, from my first versions to my last one, I think I genuinely improved a ton as a Redstone at doing it, because, like, I'd never built a 5x5 before that, and then after doing that project, I've built 5 5x5s in, like, the span of, like, a month. So, like, I think it's quite interesting, like, how one thing that shouldn't, that, in my opinion, building a walrus door shouldn't make me a better Redstoner, it did, and so that's probably why it's my favorite.
Kind of crazy that just the phrase in itself, building a walrus door, made me a better Redstoner.
Yeah. It also did quite well on Reddit. It got, like, 10,000 views, so I was pleased with that.
Oh, really? 10,000? Nice. That's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. Just views. Upvotes, it was only, like, 2,000, but, like, I'm pleased with the views.
Only 2,000.
You're way better than me.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Every time I post something on Reddit, I get banned. Oh.
It means you don't comment enough. They have a shadow bot that if you don't comment enough but you post your own content too much, they think you're just self-promoting, so they just ban you. So you have to, like, go to other people's stuff and say, hey, this is really cool, every few weeks, so you can keep posting.
Good point, because I am very much a lurker on Reddit, and it's very rare for me to post something on Reddit, but every once in a while I tried to do it, and, like, I got banned twice. So.
Yeah, it just looks like you're self-promoting, basically.
Gotcha. My favorite of your doors is the YD door, where you, like, put your name in the door.
So
I love that one.
That's actually inspired by something Cass did. Ages ago, he made a door that was Tango Tech's logo, which is like a T.
Oh, that's cool.
And I saw that, and I was like, hey, my name's pretty short, just YD. It's two letters. How hard can that be? And I think I have 12 versions of this door, where the first one, you could see, like, 7 pistons on it when it's open, and then I had ones that were, like, 50 blocks long and used 12-block pushers and stuff in it to hide pistons, and, oh, it was very messy, and then... and now my current design is, like, I think as small as it can possibly be. You might be able to shave a block here or there, but I think it's like 12 by 7 by 4 or something like this, and it's just the letters YD, perfectly seamless and flush, and I'm very pleased with that.
It's definitely a very cool-looking door from my point of view. I could never think to do anything like that. So watching both you guys do these redstone mechanisms, I'm just like, what?
Well, the thing with doors is I'm actually not that good at doors in comparison to a lot of people. So, like, in comparison to the average Minecrafter, I think I'm quite good at it. But then if you look at, like, some door YouTubers, I just get blown away by them. So I don't know if you guys have seen the YouTuber Spacewalker, but this guy's doors are absolutely ridiculous. So he has a seamless glass 3x3 door. So it's a 3x3 of glass with blocks around it. You can't see any pistons. And it closes in 0 seconds. Literally 0 seconds. Because he uses ZeroSec technology. And like, one day I decided I'm going to download this world and try to dissect it so I can try and understand it. And honestly, I have no idea what's going on. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
Shoot. You did kind of answer my second question halfway through, because I was going to talk about honey blocks, because that seems to be a huge thing for some door mechanisms now, is having slime blocks and honey blocks not touch, but you've come out and said you don't like using slime blocks if you don't have to.
So I use a lot of slime blocks like behind the scenes in the redstone, so to like move signals up and down, because you can put a redstone block on the end of it and then you can bring a signal 12 blocks down with one tick of delay, which like is useful, for example. But I only build doors that I would be personally build in my survival world. And I just don't like the look of things when there's, like, an obsidian block there, and you can tell that obsidian block's there to hide a door, like, to hide a slime block. And I just don't like doing that. So I only have 2 designs that I've made public that feature a visible piston. One is my first ever redstone door, which I'm letting that one off the hook. And the other is... the walrus door I made for Albany, and that was because he said he didn't care. So I just made it a lot more compact by having a couple of visible pistons. So
Omni's very laid back when it comes to that.
Like, I think that the honey blocks and slime blocks are not sticking is really, really cool, but I personally can't think of a use for it that I would personally actually use, to be honest. So
yeah. Well, my last question is, I'm not sure how you would go about explaining it, but how do you take something like Isengard and start to replicate that in Minecraft?
So, Isengard itself is something I've built 3 times in Minecraft now. The first 2 times it was only the Tower of Orthanc, which is the part that most people think of when they think of Isengard. They just think of the tower. It's actually the whole area surrounding it as well is what is Isengard. The tower is just Orthanc. But I... So the first time I did it, I basically just went into Google and I just typed Minecraft Isengard and just looked at a bunch of designs and then found one I liked a lot and basically copied it, but like adjusting here or there where I thought this looks better if I do it like this, for example. And so I did that, and then what I then decided to do was to take my first design there, which was mainly someone else's with my own spins on it in places, and basically I looked up every, like, concept art and drawing of the tower I could find, and thought, how can I make what I have here more like that? And basically just tested a bunch. I don't think it's possible to do this kind of thing in survival. I think it has to be done in creative. Like, maybe you could in survival if you have a lot of patience, but I don't have enough patience to do that, because sometimes you have to move 50 blocks of a tower up 2 blocks, and it's like, I can't do that in survival, I don't have the patience for that. But with, like, structure blocks, for example, that's not too hard to do in creative. But then, like, basically just keep looking at pictures and videos of things. And then one thing that I think is really, really cool about the Minecraft community is a lot of people share things. So I go onto Planet Minecraft, for example, and you type in Isengard, you'll find 10 different designs for Isengard, and just download them and walk around in the build and try to like angle it in the way that's angled in a photo of the build, for example, and see how does this look? Is this lining up correctly? And take inspiration from what others have done, because they've put it out there, so you might as well. I did the same with... I've done the same in a creative world for the Death Star now, which I'm not spoiling my design before it's done. And then one that no one else that I've found has done is in the most recent, in Avengers Infinity War, there's the ship that lands above New York that's like shaped like a donut, I guess. I've got a design for that one, which I'm planning to put into survival at some point. I don't even know what that thing's called, so I don't even know how to find what, if other people have made it. But that one I had to basically just look at all the pictures of the movie that I could take, and it's probably less accurate because that thing's not on screen for very long. But yeah, it's basically just look at it a bunch, test it in a test world for a lot of time, and then... One thing that I think is definitely important if you're doing things in survival on this scale is the use of something like Schematica or Lightmatica to be able to put like a projection of where to place the blocks in your world. Because the first time I built it in creative and I didn't know about Schematica, so I did it manually tabbing between two screens. And I definitely would not recommend doing that because it's going to take like much longer. So the most recent time I built Orthanc itself in my survival world, I did it in, I think, 14 hours. Whereas the first time, I think it took me months. So it's you get more efficient at things and you get to look at them better. And yeah, I think that's everything.
Yeah, it's still 14 hours is a lot of time.
I mean, it's a lot of time relatively, but... It's the actual tower is the shortest part of this project. So, so far, I've, if you want to see photos of it, I believe there's photos in the Creations channel in the Discord server. That's a plug for your Discord server there. What I've did was I dug out a 50 by 50 hole, built the tower, that I did in 2 days, I think. And then I had to TNT a whole 300 by 300 area around it, because I'm building the whole of Isengard this time. TNTing that, I used just regular TNT flying machines. I didn't want to use a World Eater, because I didn't want to risk it getting anywhere near the actual tower I'd already built. And that took a week of AFKing. And then I've now been working on dirt for about a month and a half. And I think I'll finish the dirt tomorrow. And then after that, I have to design a wall that I can properly manipulate into going around a circle. Because obviously at some places this wall's going to be 1 wide and in other places it's going to be 12 long because it's a circle. So it's going to be kind of awkward getting that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how I'm going to do that one. And then I've got to build paths, which should be the easiest part of the whole project. And then I'm doing custom trees for the whole thing, and that's going to take me... I don't even want to think about that, actually, right now, but...
So basically, Whitey's time is now taken up, guys.
Yeah. And then the final bit is I've got to build a mountain in the background, but, like, that's more like a... Once this whole thing is done, I'll then maybe take a year-long break and then come back to the mountain, because I've spent enough time on it. But, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I wish I took a year break before I built my mountain. So it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah. That's all the questions I have. Jimbo, how about you? You got any questions for our guests?
No. Pretty much, I don't know, I was just going off of your questions, actually. I didn't get to write down any.
No, that's perfectly fine. We're running a little late as it is, but I wanted to thank you guys again for stopping by. It's super late for these guys. So I said guys a lot right there. Holy cow. But, yeah, it's, what, 1 a.m. for you guys now?
It's 1 for me. It'll be 11 for Cass.
Yeah, 10 for me. Yeah.
Holy cow. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up, let you guys go. Again, thank you so much for stopping by. Yeah. Jimbo, do you want to go ahead and read us out?
If you like the show, you could share it with your friends and on social media if you listen to Spotify. Follow us, or if you listen to Apple Podcasts, leave us a nice review. Doing any of these really helps the show reach more listeners. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, send an email to podcast@rippleeffectsmp.com. Tweet us or join our Discord where you can have a chat with everyone who works on the show and fellow listeners. The links are in the show notes.
Yeah, this show has been brought to you by Jimbo and myself and our gracious guest Cass and YDYT. Thank you guys again so much for stopping by. Let's not forget about our digital producer, Carl. He helps make sure the show ends up wherever it should be and not trapped in the sorting machine of doom, as I'm calling it. The amazing music you hear in the intro and outro is created by the one and only Decoy. Everybody's social media info can be found down in the show notes. You guys have been so awesome. Thank you so much for listening and getting withered with us. You should probably go drink your milk now. Bye.
See you later.
Bye.